on BYUSN, the Big 12, and discussions to change the name of the conference. We'll discuss if we like the potential name and how this could impact college sports. Plus, we share our preseason Big 12 polls and discuss where we believe the Cougars belong before game number one.
College football insider Brett McMurphy joins us to talk about Big 12 naming rights and where does he have the Cougars among 16 league teams. And today's matchup in our best BYU quarterback bracket features the Heisman Trophy winner, Ty Detmer, against John Beck.
Happy Monday, everyone. Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. It is Monday, June 17th. I'm Spencer Linton. He is soon to be father of three, Jerem Jordan.
Yeah, we're going to have a kid in a couple weeks, which will be exciting. So Father's Day yesterday, BYU Sports Nation posts some pics of our families, Jason Shepherd and the fam on there as well. Aww. My favorite pic, however, although those are three good ones, was from Robbie McCombs of Vanquish the Foe, said, I hope Hunter Dickinson of Kansas sent Dallin Hall a nice message on this wonderful Father's Day. Well played, Robbie. Well played.
I saw one with Jaren Hall on the University of Utah as well.
That one's good, too.
In all seriousness, hope you all enjoyed a fantastic Father's Day and are ready to get back at it on a very busy Monday.
Yeah, I was like, for Father's Day, can I have Monday off? No? Okay, let's work. Let's
That's go. Not a thing.
Back to work.
National holiday.
You know what's going to happen, though, this year that hasn't happened in a long time that I want to happen every time? Is the Super Bowl will be on President's Day weekend. So for many people, they will have the next day off.
The Monday after the Super Bowl.
Not for your boys.
Yeah, no, but, we're back to work.
We out here. We here. Except on Fridays in June and July.
Let's go. On that note, rise and shout. Let's get to what's trending.
Is that the inevitable or the inevitability of all this if this works for the Big 12?
Everything's so unstable right now. I mean, this thing could all reshuffle again in a few years. I think anyone that acts like they really know what's going to happen is really fooling themselves. That puts the Big 12 in a great position.
Go the MVP of your next event. As the college football world turns, it feels like something significant is happening at least every week right now. It's the Wild West, chaos, whatever you want to call it. Big changes have happened and are happening in college sports as we know it. As discussed on Thursday's show, the Big 12, speaking of those changes, in conversations to sell the conference's naming rights to a title sponsor. Brett McMurphy, who will join us on the show in a little bit, reported that Allstate is in conversations with the Big 12 and that the deal could be worth between $30 to $50 million annually. And name possibilities include the Big Allstate Conference or the Allstate 12 Conference. Jerem, what do you think about this? I know that you gave your initial thoughts on Thursday when the news broke, but now that the weekend has come and gone, you've had more time to think about it. How are you conceptualizing all of this?
I didn't think about it at all over the weekend, but this morning I did. We didn't have the Allstate post, so that's new, that Allstate could be the league name. I don't know. So a couple of thoughts. One, is 30 to 50 mil enough? That's not per team. That's for the whole league per year. How many years is this? We don't know. That's the information we have. We'll talk to Brett McMurphy coming up. So if it's 50 mil, it's 3.1. If it's 30 mil, it's 1.9. On one hand, a team like BYU doesn't have to do anything, and hey, they just get $2 or $3 million. That's cool. You also come across a little desperate and like a sellout, right? That you need to sell your rights to get money. But if you're the Big 12, it does make sense, Spence, because you're not playing for first or second. You're playing for third. You're playing to be better than the ACC and to be an attractive suitor should some more expansion happen.
There is desperation involved because you don't want to be the worst.
Right. You don't want to be fourth because fourth probably goes away at some point in the future and we may just have three.
Especially if Florida State and Clemson decide to jump ship.
Right. And the SEC is not going to take them because they would have already invited them at this point. And I don't think they fit into the Big Ten. So it's basically, are they going to stay in the ACC or will they defect to the Big 12 at some point? Who is in a better financial situation at some point in the future with naming rights and equity, we shall see. I also don't understand why, if you're going to use a number, why you wouldn't just use the number that you have now of 16, the Allstate 16. It feels like you could change that, which, by the way, last year at Big 12, which is still the name of the league, apparently, Media Days for football, they said, hey, next year we're looking at a potential rebrand and so on and so forth. It looks like they paused that potentially to maybe do this. But why not just go All-State 16? Like, I understand the history of the 12. It's not a huge history, though, Spence. You're going to the mid-90s. It's not like it's been here since the 60s or even 80s. A couple thoughts on that. I get it, and I actually like that the Big 12 is doing this because they are trying to get on the podium, if you will.
Sure.
Big 10 and SEC are going to be first and second. You're not going to compete with them in the TV revenue space, but can you bring in other cash, naming rights, private equity, and so on? Also, regarding private equity, BYU is very different, right? They're operated by the church. Athletics kind of functions on its own and whatnot within that umbrella. I wonder how, and I don't know the answer to this, how the church and the university and the athletic department feel about someone else owning a piece of the league. There's one question. And then two is, you plug into a league, and so you kind of have to go with the flow here, right? What you're hoping if you're BYU is that it's not like a, you know, like a beer sponsor for the league title. You would prefer that be avoided, but you kind of have to go with a few things at the end of the day since you are one of the members of the league.
There are so many questions that come to mind. First and foremost, I appreciate the hustle of Brett Yormark.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, yes, there is desperation involved, and that's okay. Because, as we have stated multiple times now, you don't want to be in last place in the power football
game. First, you're last. Ricky Bobby.
This is all about lessening the gap between the SEC and the Big Ten and then the Big 12 and the ACC. So if you can take a leg up and find it, even if it is just $3.125 million per school, and that's if the deal is worth $50
million. Yeah.
It was reported that it would be worth $30 to $50 million. We're all hoping it's more.
Sure.
It's towards 50. So if it is 50 and it's $3.125 million per school, that's $3.125 million per school that these programs didn't have.
Nothing.
For just being associated with the Big 12,
existing,
who then sold their naming rights and have now given into the private equity sector.
Yeah, we also are selling our personal naming rights to Allstate for $30 to $50 million a year. So let's go.
What's the negative here? Yeah, it's not traditional. And there are people in college football, specifically those that have been around for a lot longer than most, that want to hold on to tradition.
I mean, old people? Is that what that means?
Well, not necessarily, but... So let's say the 40 and above crowd. It's like,
whoa, why are you throwing me in there?
Come on. It's weird. Like, it's weird for me.
Yeah.
Because we grew up in the 80s and 90s with a totally different perspective on what college football was and true amateurism. And it just is all different now. These are professional athletes.
Yeah.
In the matter of about a year, it's fully shifted to they're now just professional athletes. Which is fine. It's
who apparently
still
have to go to class.
Change is okay. So I don't see the negative here. I saw backlash on X and on social media, like, the sport's ruined. Why?
This was the domino
ruined
it?
Why? The transfer portal, NIL. Now schools can just pay players straight up to $22 million per school per year.
Yeah.
Where's that money coming from? Where's the $22 million that the schools now apparently have to come up with? This will help with that.
Sure.
This helps.
Absolutely.
So I don't understand, other than moving away from traditions of college football and amateurism, why else this would be a bad thing.
The tradition is really in the fight song, the mascots, the rivalries.
The stadiums are still going to be the same. The
yeah.
pageantry at these schools, still going to be the same.
Yes, there's a lot that is still the same. So, yeah, it's evolving. But it's also the classic tale of, well, it's moving on without you, whether you want to be a part of this or not. And I don't think that anyone is going to go, now I don't go to the games because the league is named such and such. No.
You're still going to go.
You're going to go.
You'll buy tickets because you appreciate those long-standing things that are associated with your favorite program.
The relationships you have with your family,
correct,
with your friends, with the program, with the players. And at BYU, I think it's like more personal than most. I think that at a lot of schools, it's like, yes, I attach to these players. But I think at BYU, we kind of know the players a little better. We try and aid here at BYU TV with this show and Deep Blue and everything, and the podcast, all those, to get to know who these people are who are representing the brand that you love of BYU.
You should all be looking at this and at Brett Yormark as a hustler and a good thing. This is a good thing. This to stay above the ACC and try and lessen the gap with the two power conferences, the two power conferences in the Big Ten and the SEC, this is a good thing. You got to find creative ways to do it. He is a businessman by nature. Yeah. When you run an entertainment business, for Jay-Z, for crying out loud, you look at every and any opportunity to sell and make more money.
He's got 99 problems, and this ain't one now.
He's finding unique ways.
Let's
so
go.
I know it's not traditional. This is a good thing. As far as the name, I think it actually fits because it feels like the
All
Big 12
State?
In every state.
That's what Greg Rubel said. He's like, this kind of works, actually.
All State. Like, and if it's not All State, maybe Nationwide Insurance.
Yes.
The Nationwide Conference, because that's what it feels like.
It's on your side.
Barstool, you're in four time zones.
Barstool Big 12, I present to you Bucky's Big 12.
Bucky's is
it's
an
mostly
institution.
Mostly in Texas, right?
Bucky's is an institution.
That's really, I've never been. We didn't go in Dallas. I got to go, man. I got to go.
It will change your life.
Someone, I was hanging out at my brother-in-law's house the other day, and one of our friends was there, and she had a Bucky's swimsuit on. I was like, they sell swimsuits?
I'm telling
what?
You. What? It's like.
I need one.
Home Goods meets.
Gas station?
Maverick or whatever your favorite gas station is. Yes.
My favorite gas station is Costco,
it's
dog.
It's like Target and Home Goods and enter your favorite gas station chain.
Yeah.
But all combined into one.
It's awesome.
Mega gas station.
The All-State Bucky's Conference. Fantastic.
Yes. Well, if you want the word big in there, I understand there's brand value in that. Sure.
Is there?
Call it the All-State Big 16. But I don't know. Maybe All-State's not down for that. They're like, no, we just want it all.
And then it will be 20.
Okay. Question of the day. Wrong answers only, people. Wrong answers
yes,
only.
Bring it.
Which company would you want the Big 12 to partner with for a new conference game?
Let's go.
Dave Hackett on X says, the Crumble 12 does not sound like a good choice. Good cookies. Terrible conference day competition.
Oh, man, we only got one into the playoff. At Wolverine Cook on X. Wolverine like Michigan or UVU? Loves travel stop. Big 12 brings new meaning to the truck stop conference. Do we need a Delta flyover league? No? Is that not a one that we could do?
Evan West on Instagram. Charmin Ultra Soft toilet paper.
No.
He's Charmin Big 12.
Hey, they just.
Ultra soft.
They just pass. They can't run between the tackles. Crazy.
Hashtag BYUS on an X Facebook.
That's exactly what I wanted out of that question.
Well done to all of you.
More. We need more of those later. Okay, topic two. We were going to get to this one Thursday, but there was a lot of news breaking with the naming rights and the private equity and whatnot. So we shifted topics, but today we bring it back. Where do you have BYU football in your Big 12 preseason poll? Because Tuesday I turned this in, and it's right here, baby. But what do you have?
I'm so happy we're discussing this because it means we're that much closer.
Yeah.
I have BYU, and maybe part of it tied into where basketball was picked last year because basketball did so well, but I have BYU at number 13.
Okay.
Let's count it down from 1 through 16.
Yeah, let's walk
through. I picked Oklahoma State to win the conference, followed by Utah. As I mentioned, BYU at number 13. There are three teams I have behind the Cougars, Cincinnati, Houston, and Arizona State. Baylor just above BYU. Even though I feel like BYU, Cincy, and Baylor could all be interchangeable, Jerem.
Yeah.
I feel like the 12th to 14th, it's like flip a coin. Okay, let's throw that team
12
there.
Through 16 feels pretty much the same in terms of like these are the bottom five.
I have no idea what to think about position 6 through 11. That was so difficult for me.
No.
I have Texas Tech at 9, Deion Sanders, Coach Prime in year number 2 at number 10. And maybe that's too high. I don't know.
I don't know what they're going to be.
He has so many transfers again, but apparently they're all way better transfers. What's the
Is that what they told
like?
You?
What's the chemistry like? So I was like, 10 feels
Can
like a
block
nice.
Can you block anybody?
Even
you didn't last year.
Number for that. But it's tough. But I feel like Oklahoma State has deserved, they deserve the nod to be picked to win the conference. They were in the title game last year, and they returned their quarterback and probably
Allen
the
Bowen.
Best running back in college football in Ollie Gordon II.
He's literally the best college running back. He won the Doak, so yes.
He's back!
Yeah.
You have your quarterback and the best running back in the country back.
And Mike Gundy is a man. He's 40 years old.
Kansas State, Arizona are 3, 4, 5. Again, at 6 through 11, I don't know. I'm not going to pick Neil Brown to be low again because that, like, motivated West Virginia to another level last
Now's
year.
The year where Ryder Burton and the Mountaineers go to 11th. Okay, I refuse to put Utah at 1. So I have I also have Oklahoma State at 1.
Okay.
I have Kansas going up to
Kansas
2, dog.
Kansas is
going to
be really good.
Kansas is going to be good. I have Utah at 3. Kansas State at 4.
Yep, identical.
Arizona's going to keep it going, Doc. New head coach.
At number 5?
At 5.
We're identical there.
Oh, man. I got to mix it then. My final answer later. Oh, I already turned this in. 6, Iowa State.
Okay.
West Virginia at 7, TCU 8.
Ooh.
UCF at 9. UCF's interesting.
I think UCF's going to be better than most people think.
I could see UCF, like, in 5th, dude. Okay, Texas Tech. And then, yeah, I'm not a big believer in Colorado. I'm really not. We coming. Okay, go ahead. Like, show up. Do something.
Okay.
BYU's not out here saying we coming. Like, BYU's trying to make a bowl game.
Did you put BYU at 12 because 12 is an important number?
Because it's the crumble 12. 13, Baylor, Cincy, Houston, Arizona State. My favorite part of sports, Spencer, is the unpredictability. Like, as much as we think we know something, we just don't. Yet we're told we have to fill up to 5 hours a week of conversation.
West Virginia was picked last year, Jeremy.
So, yeah, it's fun. Like, is Arizona State going to be better than we think or Cincinnati? I don't really care. I want BYU to be as high as Blaine Fowler thinks they'll be. He said on Thursday that he has BYU at 7th.
Wow.
He really thinks they're going to impress. Now, 7th in the league, what do we think that would be?
You have to win 5
games. Are you going
5-4
at least?
You have to win 5 league games.
You're going north of 500. That would be fantastic. We are rooting for 9-0. We clearly are. We're paid by Brigham. But realistically, 5-4 would be tremendous. I would take 4-5 right now. I think that BYU is probably going to be more like 3-6 in the league, 4-5 in that one of those two.
I want BYU to come in super low.
Love it.
I want it.
I love it. 84 started unranked. I'm just saying the principle of no one thinks we can do it. 07. Oh, you lose Beck and Harleen and Brown and Coates. There's no way that 07 goes 11-2. Like, hopefully this team in the Big 12 space can just muster the no one thinks we can do it and not just get to a bowl game. Give us a 7-5.
Yeah.
Give us an amazing 8-4.
The preseason poll conversation is interesting because this is where I feel like these teams deserve to be based on what has happened.
I kind of operate more like that.
And going into the season, this is not necessarily where I believe that each of these teams will finish.
Because honestly, we have no clue. No one does. Like, who's getting hurt? Who's actually effective? Which new team from the Pac-12 is going to be good besides Utah? Like, what if Utah's not as good as they think? What if there's an injury? What if Cam Rising isn't? The knee's not as healthy. Who knows, man? That's the fun part here. But we've got to talk about stuff. We've got to make a poll. We've got to submit it. We've got to discuss.
Lucky
this
number
is all
13.
Fun, man.
Lucky number 13 for BYU basketball season to go. Let's make it lucky for football.
12 tribes, apostles, Big 12 conference used to be the name of the league. Okay, in celebration of BYU's 100th year of football this year, I don't know if you heard this. Great book, by the way. Duff and Brett were in
studio. Awesome. Got it over the weekend.
I know. I'm excited to read it. We are going to go back through the different eras of BYU football this summer for a couple decades. That 70s show, BYU Football That 70s show, airing this Friday, noon Eastern on BYU TV and BYU Radio.
After the break, Brett McMurphy of the Action Network, longtime friend of the program, gives us the latest news in this Big 12 naming rights saga and where he feels the Cougars will fit into this season's Big 12 standings. They go into a bowl? That's BYU Sports Nation.
This segment of BYU Sports Nation presented by BYU Food to Go, the MVP of your next event.
This is awesome, man. BYU's in the Big 12.
Man wide open in the end zone. Touchdown, Cougars! And he'll be hammered by Tyler Batty. And it's caught by Chase Roberts. Martin's got a first down and more. The touchdown! BYU has its first Big 12 win.
Here's the more Big 12 wins for BYU. We are live in Studio B with your day-to-day BYU sports play-by-play. I'm Spencer Linton alongside Jerem Jordan. Time to welcome in a friend of the program. He's back, Brett McMurphy, college football insider and expert with the Action Network. Brett, welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. How are you today?
Good to talk to you guys. I've got a chart on my wall, like all my radio hits all around the country. And like from 2000, I'll say like 18 to 2022, like BYU Utah hits number one for me.
It's been a minute.
You guys get in the Big 12? Okay, we don't need McMurphy anymore.
The irony is there's Big 12 news. Now we're bringing you in. We appreciate your time. Always, you're a busy guy. Okay, so last week, we'll talk about private equity in a second, but you were reported that, hey, the naming rights deal with the Big 12 could be All-State, right, for up to $50 million. What have you learned about this situation and what could be the All-State 12 potentially?
Well, you know, when I reported that, you know, the reactions on Twitter were you know, pretty predictable. A lot of creative other name suggestions for Big 12 and other conferences. But look, here's the bottom line. Tradition is long gone. You know, the Big 12 and other conferences are seeking naming rights. And like I reported, All-State's the leading contender, the number one candidate for the name of the league anyway, would be the All-State 12 Conference. Could earn up to $50 million a year annually. Not certain how long that deal would be, but it's certainly not going to be a short-term deal. And that adds another, you know, $3 million or so for each of the member schools. And while that doesn't seem like a lot, it's basically, you know, if you're not named the Big Ten or the SEC, you've got to do some of these things to generate more revenue because of what lies ahead with college athletics. We don't know what's going to happen, but we do know this, the conferences with the most money are going to be the most successful. And so that's why they're looking to do this. And when you guys had reached out over the weekend, I'd actually, a friend of mine sent this to me. I had even forgotten I had reported it. 11 years ago when I was at ESPN, I wrote the column that when the Big East was breaking up from the football schools and the non-football schools, that they should sell the name of the conference to a corporation, like the AT&T Corporation. And it's funny, a lot of things I wrote 11 years ago actually still resonate as true now. And it's funny, obviously the conference ended up being called the American Athletic Conference. The first recommendation by Mike Goresko to his board of directors was the America 12 Conference. And his president said, we don't want a number in the name. Certainly, that was a smart decision. Obviously, for the Big 12, that's different. You've got a long history of the, you know, obviously the Big 8 before the Big 12, but with the number. But we'll have to see where this goes. Everybody's going to mock it if you're not from the Big 12. I understand that. But you know what? Once one conference does it, I think a majority of the other conferences, other than the SEC or Big 10, will have some kind of naming rights deals. I know the Mountain West is discussing it. Conference USA is looking at Globe Life. So that's the way of the world right now. If, you know, I don't like things that are traditional have gone away, but you can either sit there and, you know, walk by the graveyard whistling and hope nothing happens, or you can be aggressive like Brett Yormark and try to get as much revenue into your conference to give these guys the best chance to win.
Brett McMurphy is a college football insider with the Action Network. Follow him at Brett_McMurphy on X. Okay, you just alluded to maybe one of the negatives, and that is tradition going away yet again with the name of a conference. But other than that, Brett, are there any negatives to doing something like this for Brett Yormark and the Big 12, or should I say the All-State Big 12?
I mean, negatives perception-wise, I mean, yeah, you could say it kind of makes you seem like a lesser conference, if you will. You know, but I think we're past that time. I mean, you know, the bowl games are no longer named after fruits. You know, it's no longer, you know, remember back when the field goal nets weren't sponsored by a company. You didn't have 20 different uniforms. I mean, everything's kind of gone out the window. So it's pretty much whatever you will accept. I don't really see a negative to it. It's in a weird way, the NCAA allowing corporate logos on the field just a couple weeks ago actually could devalue the deal, because now if you're a conference and you rename it after a corporation, you're not the only name on the field, because there technically could be other corporations on the field. But I don't think it's a negative. The number one thing is you don't want to be the worst power conference out there. And that's shown through, you know, history of college football. We had six conferences. And as I mentioned before, when the Big East split with their football and basketball schools, well, then the Big East became the worst football conference. What happened? They don't exist anymore. So we fast forward a little bit, who was the worst conference, at least off the field. That was the Pac-12. They don't exist anymore. So now we're down to four. Well, it's either the ACC or the Big 12. So how long will this go on? Well, probably till Florida State and Clemson get out. And then I think the Big 12 will be in a great spot then. So, again, you've got to do what you can do. The TV money's maxed out. The college football playoff money is maxed out. And so you've got to look at alternative methods. I mean, is the SEC at one point going to allow advertising patches on their jerseys? Absolutely. So I just think this is just another step in the progression of college athletics becoming professional. And one last thing, I actually asked Mac Brown, he's been coached forever now at North Carolina, won a title at Texas. I said, are you kind of sad that college athletics has become professionalized? He goes, what do you mean, Brett? This isn't professional. And I go, what are you talking about? And I went through, the laundry list of things that have happened. And he goes, the professional leagues have rules. We don't have any rules. So that's kind of where the college administrators are now. They've just got to figure out how to do whatever they can do until they figure out what they can't do anymore.
Chaos. That's what it is. Who's going to rule on this? There's no commissioner. It's pretty crazy. You creatively mentioned that Waffle House should be the SEC sponsor with the House of SEC at the end there. Waffle House. I like that. Some people have put out there, like Barstool, Big 12, the Buc-ee's 12, if Allstate didn't work out. There are some fun brands that could come to fruition here. But do you fully expect the Big Ten and the SEC and the ACC, as you mentioned, to follow suit? And then do you think they will follow suit in the private equity game as well, as Florida State has done as an individual school, but as the Big 12 looks to seek an influx of cash, do you anticipate that other leagues will follow suit among the power leagues?
No, I don't. The Big Ten and the SEC don't need to, because right now they're making $50 million on average more than the Big 12 and the ACC schools. The ACC, that's a different situation. Jim Phillips, their commissioner, tremendous man. He is a traditionalist. And so, they're kind of slower to kind of do these kind of aggressive things like your Mark's doing. And they're also got, they've got their two biggest brands suing to get out of the league. So I think they're just trying to survive at this point. But no, I wouldn't expect the Big Ten or the SEC to do any kind of naming rights deals. I think this is 10 years down the road. I kind of compare that to the Rose Bowl, they've got enough money. They've got enough, they've got the tradition, certainly, where I think if they did wanted to do something, then what you would see would be the SEC presented by, Golden Flakes chips or something like that. It's not going to be a sponsor before the name of the conference. But, I mean, look, things change so quickly. I mean, that's the most frustrating thing when you talk to anybody in college athletics. Are we going to be paying the players? Are the players going to be employees? If you want to get really radical, will the players have to go to class? Will that be an option? So we don't know how all this money is how much money is going to be needed. We've got the $22 million lawsuit. Go on and on and on. So, yeah, things that right now we think that's crazy, that's never going to happen, that we would have thought was crazy 5 years ago and is now an everyday common experience. I wouldn't count out the Big Ten and SEC getting a naming deal, but I would be very hesitant to think it happens, or certainly on the level of the Snoop Dogg Gin and Juice Arizona Bowl.
Bo Shizzle. Brett McMurphy is on BYU Sports Nation. Okay, now the billion-dollar question, or maybe I should say billions-dollar question, because that's where we are and how much money is being thrown around in college sports. But what do you envision on a timeline for college football and the Power Four as currently constituted? You were just mentioning don't want to be in the worst spot. It's the ACC, maybe. The Big 12 you feel like is in a good spot. So how long will this last in the Power Four before you feel like change is inevitable again, Brett?
I think part of that will be with the – we see what happens with the college football playoff. The new one starts in 2026. We don't know. We still don't know how many teams are going to be in that. It's probably going to be. I mean, it's at least going to be 12. I think they're going to end up at 14. But basically, we've gotten to this point, and this is not to be negative on the SEC or the Big Ten. This is just the way of the world. They are going to do what is best for their conferences, as they should. And so if they want to do X and all the other conferences don't want to do it or can't afford to do it, then they can split away and do their own thing. Or they can try to somehow get enough revenue and resources to match what the Big Ten and the SEC is doing. So I guess what I'm saying is, I don't know. It depends on if the Big Ten and SEC are content with how things are going. I think in the grand scheme of things, they want teams from all over the country to compete in the national championship. I don't think they want to take their ball and go home and just have a Big Ten SEC national title game. Although they certainly could do it, and the TV ratings, whether you like it or not, would be as high as the current ratings are, or maybe higher. But I don't think there's any certainty on a split between those leagues and the other leagues. But again, because nobody knows, everyone's just trying to get into position. I guess it's kind of like, and I'm not a big race fan, but it's almost like you have the warning flag out and you just want to make sure you're in the right place. So when they finally drop it, so you can start the race, that you haven't shuffled too far back. The problem is nobody knows if it's two warning flags or if the warning flag's going to go on for 2 years.
It's a very Big Ten SEC reference there. I like that a lot with the racing geographics there. Okay, regarding naming rights, up to $50 million you mentioned. That'd be 3.125 per team. Is that worth it? Is that good enough? Were you expecting that number to be higher? Or is it, hey, these teams don't have anything to do with that, so it's a free 3.125 mil?
I actually thought a power league would not go for less than $5 million per school. Mm. So I am surprised it is, I'm going to say only 50, but it is 50. But again, it takes two to tango. You got to find, a company that's willing to do that. I agree. It's basically free money. It's money you didn't have. And all these schools are trying to find $22 million that they didn't have before because of the House settlement lawsuit. So is, $3 million going to take care of 22, but no, now it's down to 19, you're chipping away. So again, I've been told that people within the conference actually are more in favor of a naming rights deal than perhaps private equity, which private equity brings $50 million in and all of your financial worries are suddenly taken care of. But then that comes with a lot of unknowns. Somebody owns 20% of your conference. How much say do they have in that? How's that going to impact you long term? Et cetera, et cetera. So I was surprised it wasn't a little bit more. I think you'll see, I mentioned Conference USA and the Mountain West. If they get a deal, I think their deal will probably be worth per school, maybe $1.5 million. It's changing tradition, but especially for the smaller conferences, I don't think that's that big a deal.
Brett, I remember having a brief conversation with you at Big 12 Media Days last year in Dallas, and you asked me, do you think BYU can find 6 wins on the schedule? And I thought, I believe there is a path to 6 wins. And the Cougars let one get away against Oklahoma. We're up 18 on Oklahoma State at halftime, and the Cowboys go on to win that game and then go to the Big 12 championship game, leaving BYU out in the cold at 5-7. Now expectations are even lower for the Cougars. If you look at most betting lines and our friends in the desert, they have it at 4.5. So what are your expectations for BYU as the Cougars enter year 2 of the Big 12? And how should we be helping BYU fans prepare for what the Cougars are about to see?
I think the Big 12, without question, is going to be the most competitive, most fascinating, most upside down league of any conference in the country. And you talked about BYU last year was 4.5 wins, or excuse me, whether they would get the 6, and now they're only 4.5 last year, or this year, excuse me. Oklahoma State projected wins last year were 6.5. I didn't think Oklahoma State would, and I'm an Oklahoma State grad, I didn't think Oklahoma State would get the 6. and they go play in a Big 12 title game. It's so crazy because I think the teams are so balanced. I literally think that you could pick 8 to 10 teams and put them in a hat and pull them out and have a pretty good shot to pick the winner, as if you studied all the depth charts and power ratings and analytics and all that stuff. You know, the key is, you know, looking at, you know, what BYU has against them. I mean, my God, the home schedule, I mean, it's great for the fans. Kansas State, Arizona, Oklahoma State, Kansas. Those are four of the teams that will be predicted to win the title by various people. I don't think there's a clear-cut favorite. And then, of course, your friends, you have to go at Utah. They're going to be picked to win it. So you're basically playing the top half, what's projected to be the top half of the league. So good news is, if you win some of those games, you're in that top half. The bad news is, if you don't, you're not. So it seems pretty clear cut. I haven't broken down all the conference schedules yet. I don't know if you guys have taken a closer look. But just at first glance, you're going at UCF. I think they're better than most people think they're going to be. Baylor, I think, has slipped a little bit. You have to have one of the toughest schedules in the Big 12, if not the toughest schedule.
Yeah.
But again, that doesn't mean anything. I mean, anything can happen, and that's why football is so great. And, you know, going to play in Provo is not easy for anybody. And I can imagine I don't know if Arizona's been out there, but I can imagine that for the other Big 12 teams, they probably have not been out to Provo, if ever. Certainly not. Nobody on the team was probably alive the last time their team went out there. And I think that can be a big advantage for the Cougars. And, you know, I wouldn't count them out. Again, it's going to be fascinating, incredible, all those adjectives. The key is, obviously, BYU must, and this won't be easy. You got to go undefeated in non-conference play. And yeah, second week at SMU. Some people are predicting SMU to be a sleeper in the ACC, so it doesn't get any easier out of conference. So I don't know. Tom Holmoe's had a lot of work to do doing schedules when you guys weren't independent, and they gave you a tough one, you know, in conference play this year for sure.
Brett McMurphy on BYU Sports Nation. Always appreciate the insight. You can find more of his work, the Action Network. Follow him again at Brett_McMurphy on X. We thank you, sir. It's good to have you back on the program. We won't wait so long next time.
All right, it's cool. I understand. But, hopefully I'll see you guys out in Vegas for Big 12 Media Day.
You got it. Looking forward to it. Thanks, Brett.
Thanks, Brett.
All right. What I appreciate about Brett, and he said this to me as well last year at Media Days, is he's like, sometimes BYU fans don't like me because I tell you what I really believe. And I was like, do not stop doing that.
I think he has a great idea for a segment for us. We put all the names in a hat, and then we have to blind put them into a spot. Have you seen that on Instagram? Like,
Okay,
I'm giving you 5 things. You don't know what you're going to get quite yet. Well, we know these 16, I guess. You put it where you think it's going to go. Another day. Okay, check out the latest Cougar Tailgate podcast featuring Mitch and Maddie Matthews. Maddie played on the soccer team. She was awesome. As they talk about their path to BYU, their most memorable moments in Provo, and more.
Up next, was the 2009 BYU football team the most fun Cougar football team all time? We'll tell you why we're asking that. And more. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
BYU Sports Nation is on social media for content throughout the day that we like to check during the breaks on Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok.
Welcome back to Studio B. I am Spencer. He is Jerem. Let's roll out your Monday headlines.
In case you missed last week, multiple reports of the Big 12 and discussions on a naming rights deal. The Action Network's Brett McMurphy, who joined us last segment, reported that the conference is in discussions with Allstate, and the Allstate 12 is a top candidate for the name if a deal is reached worth $30 to $50 million. That's about $2 to $3 million a year for a team like BYU.
Day one of summer workouts begin today for BYU women's basketball. Amber Whiting, led by her daughter Amari Whiting, and the group prepare for year 2 in Big 12 conference play.
Wait, they're related? Daniel Schneemann went 3-for-4, hit his first major league homer yesterday for the Cleveland Guardians in a 7-6 loss to the Blue Jays. Schneemann's first multi-hit game is now hitting .375 on the year.
Let's go, Daniel!
He's doing great, bro. In the minors, Jackson Clough, Austin Deming, Andrew Pinter all hit homers over the weekend as well. And Justin Sterner, 2 1/3 across two outings, giving up just one run for the Rays. And Ryan Brady also pitched 2 innings, also giving up one run in the minors. Good job, Batcats. Let's go.
There's a reason they were pretty good about 4 or 5 years ago, Jerem.
And we're competing. Let's recapture that.
Right? It's that is the challenge. BYU Swim and Dive will be represented by 5 current, former, and future athletes in the U.S. Swimming and Diving Olympic Team Trials that began on Saturday. Current BYU swimmers Jordan Tiffany and Brad Prolo, former swimmer Peyton Sorensen, and incoming freshman Lucy Warnick will each compete in Indianapolis, while diver Mickey Strauss competes in Knoxville, Tennessee, all for spots in Paris.
3 Cougars competed at the track and field U20 National Championships. Wyatt Houghton won the steeplechase. Carter Cutting finished 2nd in the 1500. And Alyssa Keller took 2nd in the javelin. Track and field and cross country also announced the signings of Benjamin Jaster from American Fork and Annie Nuttall of Provo High.
Softball signs utility player Miranda Mansfield from Salt Lake Community College. Mansfield, the third-team junior college All-American, led the Bruins in hits, doubles, and triples last season. And congrats to Maddie Bejarano, who signed a pro deal with the Hub City Adelitas out of Lubbock, Texas, in the Women's Professional Fast Pitch League. Their season starts this Thursday.
Former BYU golfer Zach Blair finished tied for 26th at the U.S. Open that Spencer went to at Pinehurst, number 2.
Fun to watch Zach do his thing.
Yeah. How was it watching him in person?
Hot, humid, and unbelievably amazing to watch them hit the ball off the tee. They're just ridiculously good.
Yeah. You have a similar game, which is wild. after shooting 6 over par, almost Coug Tony Finau tied for 3rd, his best finish ever. Congrats to those 2 guys.
He was a triple bogey away on number 13 on Saturday from, like, legitimately winning his first major.
And don't tell that to Rory.
Oh, yeah, it's true. He's hurting, too. Kansas City Chiefs head coach Andy Reid and former BYU tight end Matt Bushman received their Super Bowl rings this weekend. Reid's 3rd and Bushman's 2nd. Remember how he has 2 Super Bowl rings now?
I do remember that.
And the Chiefs release punter Ryan Rico following mandatory minicamp, making Rico a free agent. Hope he gets another shot because his leg is very active. It could be a weapon.
And Alex Gray totaled 20 kills, 2 aces, 2 blocks in a 3-0 win over France and a 3-0 loss to Netherlands at the Volleyball Nations League this past week.
Those are the headlines. Now some opinions in the whip. Cougar Whip Round presented by Maersk, your e-commerce logistics shipping partner.
Just one, Showtime College Football on Twitter posted a guest college football team graphic. It's the 2009 BYU team's resume, including the caption, "Such a fun team." What was the most fun BYU team you've ever seen?
1996, Jerem. Do you agree with me? First team to win 14 games, Steve Sarkisian leading the bunch to a number 5 overall ranking at the end of the season, and a Cotton Bowl win over Kansas State. They crushed Utah. They won an amazing WAC championship game in dramatic fashion. That team was the funnest for me.
I saw 10 of those 15 in person. That was, as a kid, that was a really fun season. I'm going to say 2020. Here's why. Life stunk in COVID. It was really hard for everybody for a million reasons. That team gave us a ton of joy just playing football. That team, the ability for them to play and win and be exciting and fun, and the draft picks and the NFL guys that have it. I'm going to say 2020.
2021 awesome. Wasn't bad either. The de facto Pac-12 South champions.
That was pretty fun.
Started the demise of the Pac-12.
You could say a lot of things about a lot of BYU teams of being fun, man. There have been some good years.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's cool that we can have a conversation about multiple.
We're like,
seasons.
Oh, it's just that one. Nope.
Okay. And can we make funnest a word already? Can we make it a word?
Yeah.
Can we throw that in the dictionary?
I think that's the bestest option. Yeah.
The funnest. Why is it not a word? While you think about that, up next, two all-time greats battle it out in our best quarterback bracket.
This one's good.
John Beck and one of his heroes, Ty Detmer, go head-to-head in the bracket in the 2nd round. This is BYU Sports Nation.
This portion of BYU Sports Nation is presented by Maersk, your e-commerce logistics shipping partner.
The Mountain West Conference Offensive Player of the Year.
Detmer in trouble.
The winner of the Heisman Award.
Ty Detmer of BYU.
Back in the run for it.
Oh, touchdown!
Well, he's still scrambling. He's gonna, now he throws it. Touchdown!
He'll roll right, lets it go, finds his guy! Touchdown!
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. We are live in Studio B and continuing our conversation with the best BYU quarterback bracket. With your help, we are narrowing down during the month of June the top BYU quarterback of all time. We took 16. We've got to get to one, Jerem. We're into the second round.
We're down to eight. Let's check out some of these. So we got Steve Young against Taysom Hill coming up. Jim McMahon versus, let's tell you right now, oh, Max Hall. Over Steve Sarkisian, the 7 over the 10, 68% of the vote on Max, by the way. Look at Robbie Bosco against Mark Wilson. That one's crazy. And today's matchup, Doug, Ty Detmer against John Beck. John Beck loves Ty Detmer so much. One of his kids is named Ty.
One of his kids after, yeah. Only two upsets, by the way, in the first round, a 9 over an 8, which isn't really an upset.
I don't think so.
But the 11 over the 6.
Taysom, yep.
Why did we have to take an 11 over a 6 on the heels of what happened to BYU basketball?
I don't want to talk about Duquesne right now. Stop it. Stop it. Okay, the one seed today, Ty Detmer. Heisman Trophy winner, perhaps the GOAT. This bracket's going to determine that, right? Played at BYU 87-91, over 15,000 passing yards, 121 touchdowns, 29 wins as a starter. 1990 Heisman, beat number one Miami, broke 59 NCAA records, Ooh. Tied three others, still 7th in career passing yards and 10th in career touchdowns in NCAA history.
The 9th seed. John Beck, or Joe Beck on the back of his jersey in 06.
That was fun.
Played for the Cougars from 03 to 06. Passed for over 11,000 yards, 79 touchdowns, just 34 interceptions. Second team All-American in 06. Leading BYU to an 11-2 record in the Mountain West Conference outright title. Third all-time in BYU career passing yards. Fourth in career touchdown passes. Two-time first team All-Mountain West. The Offensive Player of the Year in 06 in the conference and a second-round pick to the Miami Dolphins in 2007.
You and I were on the sideline right next to each other when Beck to Arlene happened. We were students at BYU.
Oh, yeah, and he produced one of the top two moments in BYU football history, at least according to the fans and how you voted a few years
and
back.
And depends on which poll you're looking at. We had a poll where they were Beck to Arlene was number
yeah.
one. And then the Miracle Bowl Hail Mary. There was a book written, and they referenced that it was number – Beck to Arlene was number one, and I was like, that's probably my fault. My bad. So go to Twitter and X today. That's the same thing, and Instagram, and vote on this matchup. I think Ty's going to win.
It's the
I'm
Heisman
interested
trophy.
In the margin. Like, is it a 65-35? What are we talking about here? I think John would yield to Ty in this if we asked him. Like, he thinks Ty
yes.
was the better quarterback. It's hard to argue against the Heisman Trophy.
We should also note really that Ty finished third in the Heisman his senior year.
Oh, by the way, against a crazy
tough
schedule.
Which is like he finished third, too, the next year.
Oh, by the way.
What? Yeah. Like, and then nothing until Zach Wilson finished eighth, right?
Ninth, I think.
Ninth?
Yeah. Was it eighth? Eighth or ninth?
It was a long drought before BYU had another Heisman candidate.
And remember,
involved.
They're not voting for 10. They're voting for the top three. So you have to get a third place vote, right? Or better.
Okay. Again, as Jerem was saying, go to at BYU Sports Nation on X, Instagram to vote. We'll add up the votes and tell you what happens tomorrow as we continue our bracket through June. Up next, more responses to the question of the day. Wrong answers only.
I want to hear more.
Title and the name of the new Big 12, because it won't be the Big 12 anymore. This is BYU SN.
Crumble.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back with our question of the day, wrong answers only. Which company do you want to partner with the Big 12 for a new conference name?
These are awesome.
Waffle House Rugby Football Club on X says, Waffle House and Buc-ee's are the only correct options. At Tavita _Mac on X says, Dollar General Conference.
Nice try.
Yeah, no, that's too cheap, right?
No.
Our elite voice of the day presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated from Caleb McCann on Instagram. You take this one, Jerem.
Qualtrics. Then the Utes could still complain about Ryan Smith owning everything. That's funny.
The Qualtrics 16. Today's Rise and Shout Out presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
Dude, how about Zach Blair finishing in a tie for 26th at the U.S. Open? Oh. That's a fresh $153K earned. And then Brother Finau took third, $1.2 million.
Yeah, over a million.
Nice!
He didn't win it. It's that big of a deal, man, the U.S. Open. He's so close to his first major, too. Fun to watch him in person for sure. Our thanks to today's guest, Brett McMurphy.
Sorry to Dennis Pittet. We need to do the tight end bracket next somewhere.
Would he win it?
No, Gordon Hudson's my guy.
We're Jerem. I'm Spencer. Shout out to Tom Young. We'll see you tomorrow. Go Cougs!
Buc-ee's.